Blog Talk Radio.
As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak to you. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show, the Parent and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This show guides our listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills with children, and our listeners are invited to bring your questions to the lab and get a better understanding of proper parenting and reconstruction. The show is a very special show tonight, dealing with Ramadan and family and reconstruction. We ask that you give us a listening ear, pay strict attention, pick up the telephone and call a neighbor, call a friend, and get them involved. And I'll bring you the host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak, my good brother.
Alaykum as-salam and Ramadan Mubarak to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi alameen. Shadu wa ilaha illallah wa da sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَعْدُ. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, may the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard this special time, a special edition of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in lieu of Ramadan, as we're in the blessed month of Ramadan, and in transposing the time, so that we can respect those primarily on the Eastern Standard Time to be able to break their fast on time. And so this is the time for the Ramadan time only in this month and all. I'd like to say to those of you who may be listening in for the first time that this is your learning lab. Dr. Patricia Slaudine and myself, I'd love for you to be involved. If you have a question or you have a comment on anything that would be said this evening, we ask that you do press 1. And those of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet, if you have a question or a comment that you would like to make, you have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. Just want to just say this as a staple in terms of the foundation for this learning lab. We do use Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad in the demonstration of the Quran, and the Tafsir, which means simply the clear explanation by Imam Warthuddin Muhammad. We also want to say that in following his lead in terms in definition is direction, and also I want to add correction to definition, that we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We say parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. And this is a big role and responsibility that's not just on the mother's part, but also the father's part in terms of fulfilling that obligation and responsibility to the various components that comprise the human being. We also say that the responsibility of both parents is to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And we say inshallah, which simply means God willing, that having the knowledge and being conscious of your role and responsibility to your children and the disposition and mindset that perhaps some world leaders will come as a result of that. Another staple here is that outside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the Most High, being the first teacher for all of human creation, He has given the honor and the distinction to the mother first and foremost in terms of not only being the first teacher, but also the first leader for our baby girls and also our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. There's many, many translations, interpretations of that. But I just want to simply say that she is the one that lays the foundation, not only for our baby girls, but for our baby boys. And so last week was the first episode in this blessed month of Ramadan. And the theme for these learning labs, as well as the MGM roundtable that I host there on Saturday in the month of Ramadan, is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And the subtopic for these learning labs, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is how does Ramadan have positive effect and benefits, the impact that Ramadan makes on the family life. So this will be the discussion tonight, as we started that last week. And we'll be introducing our special guest facilitator tonight in just a moment. But at this time, I'd like to bring on our co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Slaudin, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum as-salam, Mark, and Ramadan Mubarak to you. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, you know, I'm always amped up whenever there's Wednesday is Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, because I believe this is a vital, vital, needed and necessary production that we have here on IWDM Radio. If we're ever going to get things right in society, it has to begin with the first social unit, which is the family. And the role and responsibility of the parents and all is just kind of somewhat outlined. And so like I said, fired up and ready to go. So with no further ado, what I'd like to do is bring on our special guest facilitator, who's no stranger in Blog Talk Radio. Our beloved sister is an outstanding author of Female Solution. She's also the executive producer and CEO of the Female Solution. And in addition to that, she's an outstanding host of what else? Radio host, and I should say television host now, of Female Solution, a person I had the honor of working with first on AM 360 Radio, and also my first co-host on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, my good sister and friend, Naima Latif. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak to you, Naima.
Wa alaikum salam, and Ramadan Mubarak to you and all of the listeners. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. It's always good to hear your voice, and it's always an honor to have you join us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And just as we used to do on our sister station, AM 360, when it came to Ramadan and we had the production, I always, in lieu of that, in its significance as being one of our five pillars as Muslims, and I always would center the conversation around Ramadan, how it can positively impact and the benefits that it brings to the family life has seen it out that this learning lab is about parenting and the, reconstructing the family life. So for the 4 weeks. So this is why we're doing it a little bit earlier, so to respect those who need to break their fast on time. So last week, Naima, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and myself kind of gave a little introduction to this topic in terms of how Ramadan can positively impact and also benefit the family life. We might need to close the mic there, Rashid, the noise in the background, how it could affect the positively affect and also impact and benefit the family life. And some things that we brought to the radio listening audience, the various things that happen in the month of Ramadan for those who may not be Muslim, you know, in terms of abstaining from food and drink during the daylight hours and all, but also in getting up early in the morning for suhoor, a light meal, and making salatu fajr, we make, have opportunities of families to make the salats together. And everything is amplified during the month of Ramadan, of course, and the iftars, which meaning that you're actually breaking fast upon sunset and all. We talked about that. We talked about how most of the time that family life and community life becomes more of a unified life during the month of Ramadan. And some of the things, the interaction that we have with our children by playing games, the mini games now that are out, Islamic games and trivia and all of this, depending on the age stage where our children are. But also reading the Quran and reading it together, but also having discussion together. And that's pretty much where we left off last week. Some basic and fundamental things that can be a benefit in terms of the unification of the family during this blessed time of the month. And I thought that this week what we would do would kind of focus more specifically in terms of the theme in terms of fasting the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran and look specifically at some of the benefits in terms of perhaps reading the Quran together and receiving the guidance that Almighty God that gives to the human being. And, you know, the human being needs to have guidance, and I know some of us think that, wow, we got it all figured out. We got it all figured out. But actually, when you really, really, really think about it, the one that has it all figured out is the one that created us. And if we just use a little common sense and logic that we know, you understand, that Almighty God has given us something very, very special in terms of an intellect, a free dome, if you will, and has given us free will to be able to make choices and all, and to be able to think and to think rationally and logically. We don't see that often too much. But in looking at some of the reading in the juice, which means 1/30, we read 1/30 each day for the time period of Ramadan until we complete the wholeness of the Quran. So we want to start, start with tonight, and I'm going to ask Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean in terms of looking at what knowledge we can actually receive through the educational process in terms of how that can actually benefit the family. So before we start the conversation, I'm give Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean opportunity to give us somewhat of a definition in terms of how do we see education, how important this is, and where does this all stem from, Dr. Slaw-Dean?
Okay, thank you, Mark. So it all stems from Surah 96, which is a chapter in our Quran, Al-Alaq, and the first five ayats, this is from Allah tells us, read in the name of thy sustainer, who has created man out of a germ cell. Read, for thy sustainer is the most bountiful, who has taught man the use of the pen, taught man what he did not know. So those first five ayats were the very first ayats or message that Allah gave to Prophet Ibrahim through Gabriel. So that's where it stemmed from. So we're talking about education, and we're going to talk about the definition of it as given to us our dictionaries. Educate came from the mid-15th century, educating, bring up children to train, and from the Latin educatus, and past participle of educare. So I'm going to skip on down to the etymology of the word, which tells us that education comes from the Latin educare, meaning to lead out. Did the Romans have in mind, and this is a question, did the Romans have in mind leading out of the pupil what is already within him or her, or did they mean to lead the pupil out of ignorance? Well, I think we have the answer to that, because we always say that we're leading out of what Allah has already placed in the human being, what is already in the child. So what the education is doing is leading out what Allah has already placed in. So that's our response to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, that's really, I think, very insightful, because there are other ayats in the Quran that actually will actually validate that, as Allah says, He brought us forth from the wombs of our mother when we knew nothing. But is He Allah who gives us hearing, seeing, intelligence, and also sensitivity or affection, that we may be grateful and give thanks. So, you know, just based on our readings in the Jews of the Quran, you know, Naima, there is so many different ways that we can go in terms of the benefits, in terms of actually when we talk about feasting on the Quran, while we are fasting, we're abstaining from this, we're abstaining from different things, what it is we listen to, what is that we're looking at, what type of spirit that we're taking in, what we're actually experiencing, what it is that we actually are in touch with, and these, I'm covering all the five senses here, but what is it that we're feasting on in the Quran that has a benefit to us as a family life? Your reflections on that, Naima.
Assalamu alaikum again to all your listening audience.
Walaikum assalam.
One of the things that I remember we used to do as a family, my husband and I and our daughter, during time, we would, after we've read an ayat, we would, you know, of course, read the commentary, and then my husband, he used to like to kind of make his own interpretation, but then we would talk about how that related to some current situation happening in the world, because we wanted our daughter to be able to relate what is being read as a principle of living, and even as historical events that occurred, we wanted her to be able to relate it to the ethics and values that she should be living under in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for parents to make their religious beliefs and practices current and relevant and able to be understood as having a present day focus, because all values and principles and ethics are present day. They are for today that we're living in. So we talk about things like the practice of giving to the poor, and we would actually go out and feed hungry people. We myself and another sister, we would take sandwiches out to the homeless and hand them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my daughter with me because I wanted her to see charity in action. You know, this is why we're doing it, because we want it to be clear that we empathize with people who are starving, and it's involuntary, whereas we're fasting, even though we got food right there in the refrigerator, but we're fasting to remind ourselves of how hungry people are that don't have money to buy food and don't have access to a way to eat. So it's a way to build empathy in your child, and a critical value to have the capacity to feel another's pain and therefore have a drive to alleviate it. So, you know, it's funny, a lot of the homeless that we would hand sandwiches to, and then sometimes we'd bring bags of clothes and hand out things like sweaters and hats to people in the you know, if it was a bit chilly outside.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had my daughter with me, they remembered her. They years later, you know, she's a grown woman. They asked, "How's that little girl?" I'm like, she's taller than me right now. She's all grown up. But they remember that, and she remembers that time. And she actually started an agency called Taste Not Waste, where we would go by places that were having banquets and things and throwing out just, you know, tons of food. And we would package it up in those to-go cartons and then hand them out to the homeless people. And we've got many homeless communities here in Chicago. They're sleeping under the viaducts. They're, you know, trying to stay warm in bus stations and things like that. So she was moved to do something about all the wasted food that gets thrown in the garbage after organizations have banquets and big events and, you know, they can't reserve it, they can't save it, and they can't sell it, so they end up just having to throw it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would ask if we could just, you know, take it, and they said yes, and we would distribute it. And so this was something that she was moved to do after experiencing, of course, the hunger of fasting, and then also of connecting it to people who are hungry because they can't.
Yes. Yeah, not because they're fasting, only because they just don't have it. And whereas most of the time, you know, when we're not fasting, the biggest difficulty we have is deciding what it is that we're going to eat. And whereas that poor person, the difficulty they have is, am I going to eat today?
Mm-hmm.
So, so that organization again that your daughter established, what was the name again, Naima?
Hey. It was called Taste, Not Waste. And
Taste.
That's the little labels we put on the to-go cartons that we gave to. We still do it, you know.
So that definitely actually was a benefit. I mean, that was something growing up in her. She had an opportunity to experience it. And I know that was a good feeling that came as a result of that experience in terms of helping, because that's just innate. It's in human nature to want to help others less fortunate and everything. So that grew up in her. So that definitely would be a great, great benefit. That would be something that she would continuously do in her life after actually growing up into adulthood. So, any other things that come to your mind in regards to that, in terms of the education and getting to know something? Because living the Quran actually is very, very important. It's good to be able to recite the Quran, but actually living the Quran is very, very important because it actually shows what it is that you really have learned. And as a teacher, you are a teacher and an educator. You know, I think it's so very, very important when it can be demonstrated. And of course, if we're following the prophet, God's messenger, that has revealed to humanity following him is just not only following him that was actually conveyed to him or given in terms of revelation, no doubt about that, but following the prophet is actually doing those things in, like you said, the empathy for other people, neighborly needs, if you will. What about, let's look at this. God says in Surah Nisa, in the first ayat there, he says, reverence the womb that bore you. Reverence the womb that bore you. So we know that both males and females come from the womb of the mother. In reverencing and having the utmost respect, and as you just heard me say in our prelude, that the honor and distinction has been given to the mother to give that foundational knowledge to both our baby girls and baby boys. How can that be a benefit in terms of having parents that you respect highly? And God also says in the Quran that you should be kind to them and respect them. How do you see that as being a benefit? And this is in the Quran, but when it's demonstrated in the home life, and of course, there's rules and regulations that have to be respected. And so consequently, if in fact that that's instilled in our children, and when they go out into society and grow up, it doesn't present a problem for them in terms of obeying the laws of the land and all. How do you see that as being a benefit, Naima?
That's one of the things that everybody who is in law enforcement recognizes, is that whatever is happening in your household, that's what ends up coming out into the world. So respect for law, for rules, for order, for peace, all of those things are taught in the home. And so this is a good time to demonstrate what that looks like. What does peace look like? Well, that means you're not arguing. That means you're sharing what you have. That means that you are speaking in a respectful tone. That means you organize your life. You are you're conscious of other people's time. You are also respectful to your body. You're not putting bad things in it. You know, you're fasting, but you're also conscious of the kinds of food you eat when you break your fast, and you're respecting your body's needs, and you're also, you are keeping yourself in a calm state of peace as a way of being. So when this becomes a way of being and a way of life, then that's what you take with you out of your home, and that's how you interact with other people. And it's important for your children, because if they respect their parents, they're going to respect every other adult. If they don't respect their parents, they're not going to respect any other adult. It doesn't matter how much you threaten them. If they don't have respect inside of them, then they don't care what you say. And so if parents are aware of how they are speaking to each other, because they can't be arguing either. Can't talk about peace and, you know,
that's right,
having a voice that's upsetting. So demonstrating how to behave on a day-to-day basis makes it habitual for a child. So this is how they relate to people, and this is the example that they set for their peers. And it's important that they be leaders, and you've also talked about creating leaders. It's important that our children set the example for other children to follow.
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me, Naima. Rashid, there's a mic that's open, and we're hearing background noise. Please shut that mic, because it's very.
The mic is on. We have a person on, so let's just shut the mic down, because there was some background noise. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry, Naima. Please continue.
No problem. So it's important that our children be the trendsetters. And when other young people see how self-managed they are and see the level of respect that they're getting from other adults because they're self-managed, then they will emulate them. It's so important that our children be the ones that others emulate as opposed to our children trying to emulate those who are not setting a good example. So we have to always reinforce the fact that you are leading, you are setting an example, you are the model that we want others to follow. So you have to be that model and be proud to be that model. And see the benefits that it brings to your life because other people respect you when you respect them. And it's such a basic principle, but when we do put that in our home, then
that's what it looks like. Yeah, that's excellent. So we want to say to our IWDM listeners, if you just tune in, yes, you are listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab at this special time, a special episode in lieu of Ramadan. And our special guest facilitator is Naima Latif, who's giving us some insight on the topic of how Ramadan can positively impact and the benefits to family life. So I want to ask you, Rashid, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up and want to ask a question or make a comment? We do ask that you want to press 1, and those listening by way of the Internet, you do have to call in 714-816-4673. So at this time, Rashid, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up?
Yes, we do. We have 773-737. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Well, hallelujah, greetings.
I know that voice. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Well, this is Mama D, host of
Mama D. Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to the Parenting Lab. Mama D, you have a question or comment for Naima?
Yes. First of all, if I may, wish her a happy Earth Day birthday. You were saying earlier about having respect for the one that bore you. Change is the only consistent thing in life, but we resist change. The facts are, it's not your birthday. You did not give birth. Your mother gave it. So entering into this world on a live foot, that needs to change. The facts are, and facts can change feelings, but feelings can't change facts, is that your mother is the one that did the birthing. She did the labor. She did the work. But yet we're saying, it's my birth. No, you were alive for 9 months before your mother did the labor, did the work, did the birthing, so that you could be born on the earth. So it is your born day and it's her birthday. But if you say Earth Day, birthday, you give both credit. And if I believe that if you did that, the mother would have proper respect. And like Naima said earlier, if you don't respect your parents, at the end of the day, you're not going to respect anybody else. But if this could cut down on domestic violence significantly because you would have an appropriate relationship with your mother from the beginning, who is your first teacher, and you should have that kind of respect. But we go along with tradition that said, is this my birth? No, it's not. Sorry. And also, in the spirit, it is written in the Black History Bible book whose hero is a woolly-haired man with bronze-colored feet to match his bronze-colored face, that the sins of the parents are visited on the children. And with that in mind, if it be Anshahalah, did I say that right? If it be the will?
God willing. That simply means God willing is fine.
Right. I intend to, in the spirit of Queen Esther, who asked her people to fast and pray for 3 days and 3 nights without any food or water, when her people were in trouble. And I believe our people are in trouble today, and that this kind of violence that we are seeing, because it is written that the children will grow wickeder and wiser.
Yes.
And
yes.
And we need, some things come only through fasting and praying. So
yes.
I'm throwing out a challenge for all of those, because I just don't know about enough about Ramadan to know how do you count the days, because the biblically speaking, it's from evening to morning the first day. So from sundown on Thursday to sundown on Friday, that would be one day. And we would, I would end the fast on Resurrection Sunday. So anybody
yes,
who wants to touch it,
no, well, I want to thank you and made some very valid points, Mama D, and we'll get some response from that. And thank you so much for calling in. I hadn't heard your voice in a long time, so we really, really appreciate the comments that you've made. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Uh-huh. Press 1 as you're muted. So, Naima, and also I want to get Dr. Salahuddin some response there. And Rashid, do we have some other callers in the queue? But I want to give him an opportunity to give a response. We have other callers in the queue, Rashid?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right. So, Naima, you first, and then we'll give Dr. Patricia Salahuddin an opportunity to also respond. Naima?
Well, I guess based on what Mama D just said, I'll make sure that I wish my mother a happy birthday this coming Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I celebrate the day I was born.
Yeah.
but, you know, Mama D has a lot of wisdom when it comes to that early childhood development and
mm-hmm.
really helping children understand the importance of self-management. And
mm-hmm.
even though our younger children under the age of, 7,
mm-hmm.
aren't necessarily expected to fast all day, every day, it's good to let them start practicing. I know we got our daughter started practicing. You know, if she got hungry, it's okay. But just, you know, to get up early in the morning and to go through
mm-hmm.
the process of, you know, with the prayers and eating the morning meal and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for them, even when they're young, to understand that whatever spiritual time you have, that this
mm-hmm.
is sacred. This is for the purpose of helping to strengthen your spiritual tie with your Creator.
Yes.
So it's
yes.
good to get started early in recognizing when you're going through a spiritual process, so it
mm-hmm.
becomes a lifelong habit. And they actually look forward to being able to fast the whole day. I remember, I think my daughter was about 7 or something like that. I said, the whole day, I didn't eat anything. She was so proud of herself. And, you know, we want our children to be excited about spiritual things because it's
yeah.
a family thing doing together. And we want them to feel proud of themselves that they had the self-control to do things. Because
mm-hmm.
that's really what we're teaching is self-control. Mama D has been very good in telling us ways to show children how to tell themselves to do something.
Oh, yes.
So they feel proud in being able to manage themselves, control themselves, and keep themselves in order. That's what we want our children to learn, and that's what fasting does, and that's what prayer does,
mm-hmm.
and that's what doing it as a family will help reinforce.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, that's excellent, Sam, because that's something that we discussed last week when we read from the Quran that, oh, you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. So it's an old remedy so that you may learn self-restraint. And the Arabic there is tatakun. Tatakun is a derivative from the word taqwa, which means being God-conscious. So the God-conscious will be able to exercise that self-restraint, that self-discipline, the self-control that you're speaking about, the self-management. So this is definitely a benefit not only for the parents, but our children as they grow up. And, as you so eloquently articulated, let them do as much as they can, because children are great emulators of their parents, and they want to do with their parents. And then as they get older, you can talk more and more to them about what it is they're doing. And this most certainly could be life-saving, the difference in terms of sometimes what a young person's life is spared in the street sometimes becomes down to simply self-discipline. Dr. Patricia Slaudine, you heard some of the comments that Mama D made in regards to born day, birthday. And I know I just want to say briefly that my brothers, I have two brothers that are Muslims too, and when our mother was alive, first thing, from an Islamic perspective, we would thank Almighty God, Allah, for our presence here on earth. And then secondly, we would give a card and we would give a gift to our mother. That's what we did. You know, so it wasn't like we was looking so much to be celebrated. And I also taught my children, you understand, it is Almighty God that bless you, because we look at all those sperms who are trying to reach that one egg, you were the one, you know. So it's not like we jump out on stage and take a big bow or anything. And as Mama Dee so eloquently articulated, the labor comes, and from that labor, then there you are, and all. So, Dr. Slaudine, from your perspective, what would you like to say in regards to this topic, or specifically something that Mama D may have given?
Oh, first of all, I'd like to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to Sister Naima. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you on.
Yes,
I want to say that. I'm almost feeling like Rashid. Sometimes when you ask Rashid, you have anything to say? And he'll say, hey, I'm just listening. I'm just enjoying what's happening. That's how I'm feeling right now. But
yeah, you see, you're just engrossed in the listening. So, the sister's topic is, in fact, on, you know, the positive impact. And it doesn't have to be on that specifically in regards to that, because I see so many different benefits that we actually can derive from the Quran, myself personally, but want to just see if there's one that comes to your mind that you would like to share to see with our radio listening audience in terms of a benefit or a positive impact in terms of Ramadan on the family life.
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that the comment about the birthday. I remember reading a book about Australian life, the people in the outback, and on their birthday, it was an opportunity to think about what they had done during that past year and what value they have brought to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so remarkable to think about what value you, here you are another year older, God has blessed you to live one another year. What have you done in that time? What have, what have you given the world? What have you thought about that you plan to give to the world? And if God lets you live some more years or some more days, what benefit do you plan to bring or to share? Because you're here for a purpose. So I thought that's something that whenever my grandchildren talk about their birthday, I ask them that question. I say, okay, so what did you do? Now you're 19. What have you done these 19 years? And what have you done? So that's something I'd like to place on their mind when they're talking about their birthday, because now it's getting to the point where people are doing, I mean, just lavish things.
Outrageous.
Yeah, and they're doing, it's my birthday, I can't work. It's my birthday, I have to go to take a trip. It's like, well, wait a minute. You're here, so what have you done for other folks? And how much rent have you paid for being here? So that's something to think about. And then you mentioned about your giving your card to your mom. I remember my son sent his grandmother, his paternal grandmother, flowers. On his birthday, she was just floored. She was like, she called me crying. She said, I just received a dozen, whatever they were, roses from Kylie. She was just so excited about that. So, you know, to do something for somebody else on your birthday, it's a blessing to be able to do that. So those are my comments about the birthday.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Yeah, that's excellent. Naima, anything you would like to say in response to that? Take yourself on mute, Naima. Naima, you might be on mute.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, I said that was anything you wanted to say in response to what Dr. Salahuddin had just said, or what?
Well, of course, just that I certainly agree, and I think that when we teach gratitude, that is a foundation for everything. When you teach gratitude to your parents, teach gratitude to your mother, and not just take her for granted, and not your life for granted. There's always a way to look at hardships that other people have and realize the blessings that you have. Something as simple as having a mother in the home that looks out for you, having a father in the home that looks out for you. Those little things are big things because there's so many people who don't have those things and they struggle because of them. So whatever you have in terms of caregivers, gratitude is an important thing for children to understand so they don't have that sense of entitlement. Well, you're supposed to do this for me, you're supposed to do that for me.
Yes,
that might be our job, but also you must be grateful because not everybody has the opportunity to have people who love them. And so it's good to show that you care and that you appreciate what
Yes. I think that this is a better way of actually looking. You know, we won't just change the language, all of a sudden and everything. And so whereas I can appreciate the use of language and words do make people in that regard, but I think the principle how we look at things and what it is that we should be grateful for, to go back and use your word, grateful or gratitude, or showing the gratitude in terms of first the Creator for even creating the process for you to get here and you being the one that made it, you know, as far as that go, because when you study science and all of this, the Creator is the one that gives us this in the creation, and most certainly the human being is part of the creation, the natural creation that Almighty God has done for all of us and all what he has created for us. All of this is a benefit, and in the creation there is a system of knowledge in the creation where we benefit greatly from. Men, we can't deliver, in that regard. And so if we're going to put the emphasis in terms of appreciation, thanks, gratitude, it should first and foremost go to the Creator. Then second, the medium that he uses to bring forth life. Allah says in the Quran that he creates and then he reproduces what he creates. And so we see that in the natural creation, but we see that also in our life, and to make our children actually conscious, be consciously regardful and consciously aware of their existence and how they got here. And I love what Dr. Patricia Saul-Dean has said in terms of questions, because I use that. I always use questions, and I say it's effective to have in your toolbox as a parent. Yes, parents should have a toolbox. And very thought-provoking questions. I know you've heard me say this before, Naima and Dr. Saul-Dean, are very, very effective, in terms of wanting everybody to celebrate your anniversary. Really, you know, if we want to say birthday or born date, however we want to term it, you only have that. And I understand about being born again. We won't get into that and all. But I'm just talking about that physical being born or physical birth, and the gratitude that we have and how it is that we express that, you know, whereas that in Western society, we're looking to receive gifts. But from our perspective, we are looking to show appreciation, because God needs nothing. But our mother, like you say, a bouquet of flowers or something special for her, because that was a special day for her too in delivering this new life. And all, I think it's very, very important, and that's definitely a benefit to us to know that, and to have parents that are consciously regardful of God that would teach us those things that we may would think, like you say, just have a sense of entitlement. We're just entitled to this and not show gratitude, because that's something that should grow up in us, you know. So I want to say, as we get close to the top of the hour, there's other things that I see, and maybe you can give some comments on this. You know, in Surah Baqarah, which is the longest surah or chapter in the Quran, for those who know surah, surah just simply means chapter, there is an ayah or verse in there that actually God is instructing. And you can see how this is really relative to us, the importance of having a bequest. It's called bequest, or which is a will, instructing us in terms of having that will. And for the protection of the family life, as we know, we won't be here forever in a day and be able to perform our role as parents in terms of a mother, a father, and the role and responsibility that we have to our children and even to our spouse and all. So the importance of having that. And God even goes so far in terms of making sure that when we do leave here, we talk about keeping the peace in the family. Boy, you want to see some peace that's broken. Let it not be a will in the family. And I've seen it, and I'm quite sure you've seen it or what. And those persons that in the family want to claim this, they want to claim that. And mama said, this is supposed to come to me. And daddy said, no, that's supposed to come to him, and so the family is in just disarray, and whatever was existing in the family, it becomes more pronounced when the transition has taken place. So God goes so far in the Quran. This is what I'm saying, feasting on the Quran in terms of the distribution, in terms of this fractional part, that if we can do math, we can translate the fraction to a decimal, from a decimal to a percentage, if, in fact, there's something left. And oftentimes there's nothing that is left. But when there is something left, that the foresight that Allah is actually instructing us to do can actually keep the tranquility, the respect, the peace, the respect that we should have for each other and for maybe, say, that parent that has transitioned. So would you lend some commentary to that? And this is in the Quran, is very, very clear too. Nothing allegorical or anything there, but instructions are being given. And I always say the Quran is a book of instructions for the construction of family life. Naima?
Well, I have been through many situations where people made a transition and there was no will, and what you thought was a peaceful, cohesive, loving family, it's like people became vultures, you know, wolves, wild beasts, fighting over material things. And it's shocking because you wonder, well, what happened with something
yes.
as simple as yes. having it written down what people are supposed to receive of your material goods after you
yes.
have passed on, but with keep all of that from happening. And it's a simple thing, but people don't do it because they don't want to think about dying. They're afraid
dying, yes.
of the thought of their transition, and we need to change our perspective about that. If we're praying and we're talking about the afterlife and the hereafter and all of that, well, let's really believe that that's where we're going and not be afraid to leave things behind for people who are still in this physical earth realm. If we
yes.
truly believe what we say we believe, that we're going to return to our Creator, from God we come to God we return, if that's what we're believing, then why are we afraid to say how we're going to parcel out the physical things that we have acquired while we're here? That's the right thing to do. Because you know people need things. And yes, they love you. But yes, somebody wants your car. Somebody wants your house. Because they can use those things. Somebody wants your clothes. Because they can wear those
yes.
things.
Yes.
So don't make them fight over it. Tell,
that's
you know, divide things. And the Quran even gives you even specific ways on how to divide it so that it's equitable and people aren't fighting. So that's the right thing to do. We really want.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Wow, that's excellent, excellent commentary. Dr. Patricia Slaudine, would you like to add anything to that, Dr. Slaudine?
No, I thought that was great. I think that's a very good point that Sister Naima made in terms of do the will. It's an obligation on us. We're supposed to do it. It's stated that we should do it. And if we're going to Hajj, we have to write a will. If we're going to Umrah, we have to write a will and leave it in the proper place in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we have to do. And I definitely agree that we should. And I think what happens here is sometimes we are attached to the stuff that, you know, we're attached to. So we can't even see ourselves giving it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's we have to detach from these worldly things, and then also think about it as, okay, somebody else can use this, or
yes.
this person can use this, and
that's right.
why not, and also maybe you can give this, some of the stuff away before you leave here, you
that's
know,
right.
if you're not using it, give it to somebody, let them use it. I
yes.
know. Yeah, so there's stuff in your closet, there's stuff everywhere, and you
yeah.
you're not using, because half of the things you go through your books, or go through your closet, or go through your storage room, and you'll say things mm-hmm. that you're not using. Give it to somebody. Let somebody use it. So,
yes.
And then Allah has given us an equitable way of dividing our possessions and letting us know who to give it to and what we can give and the amount that we can give. So you're right. The Quran is our book of instructions and how to do everything that we need to know to do.
Alhamdulillah. You know, it's ironic that you said that. My assistant today was helping and assisting me getting all the spring clothes and everything, and I had things in there that I haven't worn in a while and not going to wear, and so I have some of these things that are piled up that's going to be given away, So, you know, Ramadan helps us to be conscious of these things, and Allah tells us in the Quran not to be hoarders, Don't be hoarders. Don't hoard things that have a use and a benefit that could be a use or benefit, I should say, to others, but also to reduce it to writing, because this is family. So even when you don't no longer have a physical presence there, you want peace to be present in the family. You want good family ties and relationship and all. And if we follow the guidance, when we read it, you know, don't just ingest it, take it in, but digest it. Understand there is a purpose for doing this, and we've seen it time and time again, just like Naima said. It was seemingly a good family, but let somebody transition, and Lord knows, let them have a little something. But the squabbling begins sometimes before the deceased is actually buried. So
We do have a line, another hand raised, Mark.
Okay, let's go to the caller as we get ready to wind down this session. So, caller, if you can be succinct, your question or comment to our special guest, Naima Lateef, today.
810-610, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I'm going to make them to you, Brother Salam, and to... to the two sisters, Naima Lateef, Dr. Salahuddin, of course, you, Brother Mark, and to the IWDM family. Hugs and love to everyone. This is the preacher.
Well, who are you, and where are you coming from with all these hugs and loves across the airways? Who are you?
I am the preacher, Hadi, calling from Flint, Michigan. And I've been on, just got in here, because you had told me that you come on at 5, and I tell you, look like, you know, this how's it going. You know, we already trying to make it through the Ramadan fasting and everything, and it looks like everything comes up, take up all your time. I jumped in here, and I'm like, oh, my God, he told me 5 o'clock, and it's already 1:45. I'm a 6, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. But anyway, I got in, I heard you all talking about transitioning and people having so much stuff. Do you know most Americans, they got so much stuff in their house and study be trying to buy stuff. Hoarding. I heard you mention it, Mark. That's how they get to it. They get to hoarding. Everything they see, they think they need it for some reason. They need it. And got stuff in there that they ain't used for years. Well, I got a rule, and I just want to share it with everybody. If you got, I don't care if it's something to wear, I don't care if it's some item or furniture or whatever, if you haven't made use of that item or that furniture in over a year, do yourself some good and somebody else too, because somebody else can probably use that right now. Somebody said, why are you talking? I'm going to get to it. I'm going to wear this here. I'm going to wear this when I lose some weight. Yeah, right. And or I'm going to hold on to this because this was given to me back. Cut it out. Get that stuff up. You know, I just want to get it. If it's been over here, you have not utilized it, give it to somebody. They'll be grateful.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you so much, Priest Hadi, for chiming in and just reaffirming what it is that we're saying tonight. Thank you so much, always participating. Assalamu alaikum. Please press 1 as you go out. And the topic tonight, and it will be for the upcoming episodes here during the month of Ramadan, is how Ramadan positively impact and the benefits of family life. So, Naima, any parting remarks that you would like to leave with our radio listen audience in regards to Ramadan, the benefits that... And the barakats, you know, that the barakats being the blessings that come from those who actually partake in the fast itself. It's a prescription, and it's a prescription that obviously there's no negative reactions to it, that the wholeness of the human being actually responds very favorably to that, if when practiced and understood. Naima? any parting remarks you'd like to leave with the IWD deal?
I just want to say I agree with both of those sisters. And if you are holding on to clothing that you think you can get into after you lose weight, well, one thing about fasting, it'll help you lose weight. So you might be able to get into some of those garments you're holding on to. But definitely I would say do not wait. Don't make people wait until you pass away in order to share your things. You know, you don't want to be more valuable dead than alive. So start sharing now. Start giving now.
Yes.
It is a blessing to give, and start sharing a part of what you have as part of your way of life. This is what Islam teaches, that we are to give charity, and we are to be kind and compassionate and help those in need. So make it a way of life, and Ramadan is a good time, if you haven't been doing it, to start. So I urge you to
Well, thank you so much. That's excellent. You know, Naima, everything is amplified and multiplied in the month of Ramadan. Far more blessings when you do it at this time of the year and everything. So I like what you said, you know, in terms of doing it while you're alive and you're consciously aware of that, because what's going to happen anyway, it was that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's an honor for the believer to take to the graveyard a deceased believer, and there's three things that go with them, but only one thing remains, and the two things that go back of the deceased is their possessions and their family, and the only thing that is left with them or their deeds. So let's do a good deed, if you will, because it is our deeds that will precede us in death. So let's make sure that we on the heavy end in terms of doing good deeds. Dr. Patricia Saldine, what would you like to leave our radio listening audience as we wrap up this episode?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Sister Naima for joining us today, and also our people, our guests who came on and made comments. We really appreciate that. I'd just like to say that the process of obtaining knowledge is education, and Ramadan is an excellent opportunity to gain knowledge about our deen and to teach it to our children. And the examples that were given by Sister Naima today and yourself of how you could, we can teach our children our deen during this special time of the year, of the month of Ramadan. There's been some great examples, and I pray that these examples have been beneficial to those who were listening. And have a good evening and a wonderful iftar.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you so much for sharing your insight and wisdom. I want to thank Naima Latif, our special guest facilitator, for her insight and wisdom that she shared here with us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab on that, this topic. And for all the years that she shared insight and wisdom to the radio listening audience, now through her television show and also Blog Talk. So, Naima, here on IWDM Radio, we don't have any restrictions. We know that in following the Quran that we are to enjoin in all that is good. And so what it is that you're doing is very good. And I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to let our radio listening audience know in terms of maybe say your publication, your radio, television show, what information, how can they contact you? You got an opportunity to disseminate that information, Naima.
Well, we are part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts. So you can go to www.onaireverywhere.com and go to the radio network page and see all of our hosts, and we are featured every day on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central time, Monday through Friday, Saturday 12 noon to 2 p.m., and Sunday 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central time. And we are also, we have just launched a school, an online academy called New Earth, which stands for natural, you know what, let me not try to think right now. Anyway, the acronym is New Earth.
Okay, New Earth,
and,
okay.
natural environment, wholesome education, awakening responsibility to humanity. That's what it is.
You know, I'm a wordologist, so I know I love those acronyms.
Yes. Yeah, so this we are going to be teaching some life skills. First of all, we're teaching a course called Parenting for Peace.
Okay.
And this is teaching skills on how to shape and correct behavior without using corporal punishment or verbal abuse, which, you know, parents have been taught that that's what you need to do. But there is a way to guide a child without using anything harmful, verbally or physically. So we teach those skills. And then our next course will be peace education. We're doing this in conjunction with the Global Peace Organization, HWPL, and teaching peaceful conduct and interaction and conflict resolution as a way of life to our children. And then our next course after that will be Grow Your Own Food, where we're teaching people, especially those from an urban environment who know absolutely nothing about what a plant looks like or how to plant the plant, teaching them how to recognize edible plants growing right in their midst, how to cultivate the earth, how to prepare it, and how to live from what you grow so that you can be self-sustaining and empowered. So we're teaching those three courses. New Earth on New Earth Homeschool Academy is what it is online. It's www.newearthhomeschoolacademy.com. We'll be launching that in May, so we look forward to having our listeners and viewers benefit from ways to bring the peace and also to strengthen our families and communities.
Well, that's excellent, and may Allah, you know, bless you with success with that, and we want to make sure that our radio list audience get that information. Hopefully they took that down and will visit that website. That's really good news to my ears. So thank you so much, Naima, for accepting my invitation. And of course, we will open, it's always open door policy for you here on IWDM Radio and also for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you and us richly in this work of parenting and how we can try to reconstruct the destructive family life. Assalamu alaikum to you, Naima Latif.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Okay, Rashid Salam, get my attention here.
I think we have the hand raised again of Mama D. I don't know, and maybe she's still from the last thing, but I think she had her hand raised.
What we want to do, because if in fact I want to wrap it up so that, you know, because I just listened to Dr. Patricia Slaudin is in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, so we want to give her opportunity to do what she has to do to get ready for her iftar and everything. So I want to thank Mama D for coming on. It's good to hear her voice, but we're a little over our scheduled time and everything, so I want to show the respect for our co-host in terms of getting ready to break her fast and everything too. So Mama D, if you come back again next week, you know that you're invited, and we welcome your comments, but we do have to wind down now, and I have to let the radio listening audience know for the upcoming productions here on IWDM Radio. We ask that you do tune in tomorrow for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shahid. The special time is 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it would be the same topic in terms of how Ramadan can positively impact and benefit marriage life. So that should be very interesting in terms of what it is they're able to extrapolate in terms of those benefits. And then Friday is Salatul Jummah Day around the world for Muslims, and I know it should be interesting. Imam Michael Sair out of Indianapolis, those who are immobilized and can't get out to the local masajids and Islamic centers, they can come back here. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Salatul Jummah Day here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here is Words Make People, once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael Sahir. Always had very intriguing guests and topics of discussion, as he had Imam Ronald B. Shaheed last week, and it was really outstanding. So you want to tune in for that. That happens every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And one of our latest production, but outstanding production, is hosted by the very distinguished Rashid Salam and its recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Outstanding Learning Lab. Ask that you bring your pen and pad to be able to take notes and also participate. Make it a family affair. And it's on the Ramadan time, too. And that begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's each and every Tuesday evening here during the month of Ramadan. And so we're back to today. Oh, I can't forget the MGM Roundtable. We could really have a special guest. I transposed that to Saturday. So those who are interested in the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, I will have very distinguished, some of the most outstanding intellects in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I'll be honored to have and welcome to the MGM Roundtable Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, who's assistant imam there in Atlanta, Georgia. He will be introducing his new publication on the roundtable, and also will be dialoguing with me in terms of the theme, Fasting in the Month of Ramadan While Feasting on the Quran. And that will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's this Saturday and every Saturday during the month of Ramadan. So please take note of that. This Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM, the MGM Roundtable. So with that being said, I want to thank you, our radio listening audience, for attending. I want to thank our special guest facilitator, Naima Latif, for accepting our invitation, and our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, for sharing her insight and wisdom. And, of course, my very distinguished, esteemed engineer, Rashid Salam, for being there to help us to be able to engineer this production. So until next time. This salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah. That's all.